Bibles to Genesis chapter number 26. Genesis chapter 26. And we have here, I'm going to move as quickly as I can because I took so much time talking about this other stuff. Move as quickly as we can through this passage of Scripture. As we see here, been studying through this book, and we've got to the point here where, of course, Abraham has died. Abraham, 175 years old. Isaac, he has his two sons, Jacob and Esau, born to him. And then the promise that the Lord makes in regards to Jacob, that it would be through Jacob that the seed would be passed. The elder shall serve the younger. The Scripture tells us, Paul, we looked over in the book of Romans where Paul speaks to that and addresses that very issue. And we come to chapter 26, and the focus now comes more on Isaac and his family. It comes more on this covenant now that God had made to Abraham, that he promised to Abraham would go through his seed, Isaac, and that covenant would continue on through him. We have now God coming to Isaac and declaring that same thing to him here in chapter 26. And we see even in this passage some of the same failures of Abraham. We see Isaac taking up those same things here in chapter 26. So start with me here in verse 1 and look here at this passage, Genesis 26, verse number 1. There was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, or just like that famine that took place in chapter 12, this one was as bad as that famine that Abraham went through. And if you remember, in Abraham's famine, Abraham went to Egypt. He got in trouble in there in Egypt because he tried to pass Sarah off as his sister instead of his wife. And he got in trouble there with Pharaoh, and they run him out of the country, told him to go back home and get away from them. So Abraham went down during the famine and got in trouble there and had to come back into Canaan. And this tells us here that this famine in Isaac's day was one like to that famine in Abraham's day. And it says, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And so he goes over to Abimelech. Now, his daddy went over to Abimelech too, and just dwelling in the land there in Beersheba, in the valley of Gerar there, and got over there next to the city of Gerar. And of course, Abraham did it again when he was there in the city of Gerar. He tried to pass Sarah off again as his sister instead of his wife because she was so beautiful. He was afraid somebody was going to kill him to take his wife. That's what he said in Egypt. That's what he said in the valley of Gerar here with Abimelech. And of course, Abimelech took her to wife. He took her to wife, and though he did not consummate the marriage, he went through the process of choosing her for a wife. And then the Lord spoke to Abimelech and told him, said, look here, you're on death's door because you've got another man's wife. And unless you want me to wreak judgment in your land, you'll give Abraham back his wife. And Abimelech came back to Abraham and said, what have you done to me? What in the world's going on? I took this woman in good faith thinking she was your sister and she's your wife, and you lied to me, and now because you lied to me, God has told me he's going to punish me. And he said, you need to straighten this out. You need to go and get out of our country and get away and take care of this. And he even blessed Abraham and sent him on his way. And, of course, then he would come later, and he would settle up with Abraham, and they'd make a covenant together. Well, here Isaac goes to Gerar as well. And when he comes into Gerar, it says there in verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." So the Lord reiterates the covenant that he gave to Abraham. He's saying, "Isaac, this covenant belongs to you. This land belongs to you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a nation." In fact, he goes on to tell him there in verse number 4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because of Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And so he gives him the same promises that he would be made a nation, his name would be great, he would be given all the land that God had promised to Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the sea. He gives him these same promises. And so Isaac dwelt in Gerar. God said, "Don't go down to Egypt, go to Gerar. Go to the land I tell you of, and you go there and dwell." And so he goes to Gerar. And while he's there, verse 7 says, "And the men of the place asked him of his wife." And he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place would kill him for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." He does the exact same thing his daddy did. Now you think that Abraham would have told him, maybe not, but you think Abraham would have told him, "Boy, don't ever go do that. This caused me trouble two different times. Don't ever go do that. Don't ever go lie about who your wife is. Don't ever go lie about who your family is. Just go and tell the truth." You think he would have told him that, but apparently not. He probably kept it to himself, probably embarrassed that he did such a thing, so he probably kept it to himself. And Isaac goes and does the exact same thing to one of the same people that Abraham did it to Abimelech. He comes into the city of Gerar there, and he says, "No, she's not my wife, she's my sister." And it says there in verse 8, old Abimelech, he was wary of that though. This had happened to him before. And I don't know if he knew Isaac was in town or not. I would say he probably did. I say he knew Isaac was in town. He's the king of Gerar. Isaac had a big company with him. He had several servants with him. He had several flocks with him. And so I'd say he knew he was in town. But he's kind of wary about this, so he's kind of watching, apparently, for this. Because it says, verse 8, "It came to pass when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife." Now, he told everybody she's his sister, but Abimelech caught him trying to kiss. And so he saw Isaac trying to kiss his wife. And seeing that, he comes and approaches to Isaac, verse 9, "And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, Because I said, Lest I die for her." You've done the exact same thing your daddy did. You come in here and lied to us. You told us she was your sister. She's your wife. Why did you do that? Verse 10, Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. So what if somebody would have took her to wife? What if somebody would have took her to wife? Then what would have happened? This guilt would have been on our whole town, he says. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. This is the thing we find about God's grace. This is the thing we find about God's grace. We've seen it many times in Abraham's life. He made a lot of mistakes. And in those mistakes, he didn't deserve the blessings of God. But because of God's grace for him, because of God's love for Abraham, God blessed him anyway. God poured his blessings out on him. Here's the same situation. Isaac made a big mistake here. Isaac messed up big right here. sinned against Abimelech and against the whole country here of Gerar. And yet we see the Lord's grace in this. We see as God continues to bless because His covenant, His promises will always be fulfilled. He will always fulfill His promises. He will not fail on them at all. He is always faithful. Always faithful. It may not be in our time. It may not be in our understanding. We may not understand exactly what the Lord is working and how He's working it, but He will always be faithful to fulfill every single promise He has given. Every single promise He will fulfill. He is faithful. And so even in Isaac's failure here, we see God blessing him initially, blessing him here 100-fold. Verse 13 says, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Here, the Lord blessed Isaac so much. Isaac had grown so much in his business affairs, in the flocks and the herds and the herdsmen that he had. He had grown so much that he had grown more powerful than the country of Gerar. And it scared the Philistines. They became envious of his blessing. Now you remember with Abimelech and Abraham, Abimelech came to Abraham later on, from the same country, he came to Abraham later on and he said, look, I've been watching you and I've noticed something about you. Wherever you go, God blesses you. Whatever you do, God blesses you. I see God doing these things for you. I see that you are a child of God and God is constantly watching over you and blessing you. I see that. And I want to bless you. I want to be a part of that. I want to have a covenant with you because obviously God is on your side. I want to be on your side. That's what Abimelech says. That's with Abraham. The people of Gerar, their mindset had changed in this amount of time, in these few years since Abraham was there. Now here we have Isaac there. Their attitudes changed here because now these same blessings that were being poured out on Abraham in Abraham's day, they're being poured out on his son Isaac here, and Isaac is growing and Isaac is abundant and Isaac is enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And this time the people of the Philistines there, they go and fill the wells up so that Isaac doesn't have any water to feed his cattle with. The wells, by the way, that Abraham dug, his daddy dug, they go and fill up so that he can't get water for his flocks. And Abimelech then would come to him and say, you need to go on out of here because you're mightier than we are now. You've got too many blessings. You've got too many blessings. You need to go on. It's not fair that you're being blessed so much and we're not. This, by the way, is in the middle of this famine. It's in the middle of this famine. 100-fold in the middle of the famine, he is increased by God. And so in this time of trouble, instead of recognizing the blessings on Isaac and say, hey, wait a minute, your God is a powerful God. Your God is a God that even in the midst of this, even in the midst of this famine, you're still being blessed. You're producing in the middle of this famine and everybody else is starving and the Lord is blessing you. I want to know who your God is. Instead of doing that, instead of seeing that, instead of recognizing that, what do? They fill in their water sources. The places where they actually have water to feed their own cattle, they fill in those wells so that there's no water available, and then they go and run Isaac off. This is the way of the wicked in the world. And it's a sad thing to see. That when God's people are being blessed, when God's people are enjoying the blessings of God, when God's people are receiving these things from God, how the world will turn against them, how the world will question, how the world will say, well, what's going on? I can't believe they're having good times. I can't believe things are well. I can't believe they have peace in this time. How can they have peace? How can they have that kind of attitude? How can they be blessed when I'm going through all this trouble? And instead of saying, tell me about your God. Tell me about why you have this peace. Tell me about why you have this hope. Tell me about why you have this faith. Instead of saying that, they instead get mad and say, I don't want any part of you. I don't want you around me. And this is the case with Isaac. This is the case with Isaac here. They run him out of the land. We don't even want you around. You're getting too many blessings. And we're not getting enough. We don't want you around us. And so, verse 17, Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. He left out from next to the city of Gerar and went into the valley of Gerar. It says there in verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And so Isaac, he goes about digging these wells back out again. His servants get busy. They start digging out these wells. They dig one well, and it's springing water out of it. The well is shooting forth this water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive, verse 20, with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove there. That word Esek means contention. Contention. Because they strove there. They had that contention between them. And so he digs another well. Verse 21, they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. The word Sitna means enmity. Now you see, this is escalated in the names even that he gives these wells. Esek was contention. Isaac is still, all right, we're having trouble. Let them have the well. We'll go dig us another one. And so he calls it contention. He goes and digs another well, and they come and try to take that one from him. And so this one he calls Sitna, which means hated enemy. So this is escalating between Isaac and the Philistines. Their contention for him has now grown into a hatred for him. So these things are escalating. They're becoming angry at him. They are becoming more contentious, even to the point, as he would say here, he would call them enemies because of their hate for him. Verse 22, it says, he removed from thence and digged another. And for that they strove not. They left him alone in this third well, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, which means plenty of room. Got plenty of room here. They've not bothered me over this one. I've got plenty of room here with this well. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, or the well of the oath, is what Beersheba means. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged the well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army, And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and even sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. That here they have filled in all of his wells to run him off. Then they run him off and say, get out of our country, we don't want you here. And so he leaves. And then he goes and digs a well, and they run him off from that well. He goes and digs another well, and they run him off from that well. He goes and digs a third well, and they let him keep that one. He goes and digs another well, and then Abimelech shows up. It's still here. Wherever he digs a hole, there's water in it. That's not the case even with well drillers today. There's been a few, I've been around a few well drillers in my day, and there's several times where they hit dry holes. In fact, my uncle, he had his well went dry, and he dug another well, and dug a 200-foot hole, and nothing. Had a little bit of wet sand in the bottom of it. And so they said, well, we'll probably drop a little dynamite down in there, and probably open that seam up and cause water to come in there. So they did. They dropped a little dynamite in there, and it blew the water back in his old well. He had a dry hole that he just dug, but he got water back in his old well. That happens all the time. You drill a well, you think it's where you're going to hit water, you're going to have some there, and they dig down, there's nothing there. It's a dry hole. Wherever Isaac dug a well, he hit water. Wherever he dug, the Lord was continually blessing him. The Lord was continually providing for him. Even in the midst of this famine, he had everything that he needed, and then some, much some, because the Lord was blessing him 100-fold. In the midst of this famine. And so Abimelech wakes up finally. And he says, hey, you know, we've done everything we can to shut you down, to run you off, and the Lord continually blesses you. I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make a covenant with you. And Isaac even said, why did you come out here? Y'all hate me. Run me off. Why did you come out here? Because we saw the Lord blessing on you. We saw him blessing you in spite of us. We want to make a covenant with you. And so it says there in verse 29, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. They try to spin it to where they make it sound like they've been nothing but good to Isaac. Well, we've not touched you. We sent you away in peace. You know, we've been peaceful to you all along, Isaac. It was his servants that went and filled up the wells. It was his servants that run Isaac off from the wells that he was digging even then. But he's trying to claim that, you know, we've been peaceful with you. We've not done anything against you. We won't have covenant with you. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Shebah, before the name of the city is, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day, which means well of the oath, or well of the sevens, depending on which you look to. And Esau was 40 years old. And this is his son Esau. Let me back up. Yeah, I read verse 33. He called it Sheba, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And so Esau has come of age at the age of 40 and decides he wants to get married, and he immediately takes two wives. He's going to take another one here a few chapters from now. and it causes him great sorrow and great pain. It was a pain to his family, pain to his mother and father, because he had stepped into this life of polygamy, which in every case has caused trouble for the people of God throughout. But here we see, as Moses is writing this book, Moses is leading the children of Israel from Egypt into the Promised Land. And again, he's telling them these stories about Abraham and about Isaac, and going to tell them about Jacob in these next few chapters. And the land is dotted. There's these wells and the cities themselves. God's testimony is all over the land. It's all over the land. The blessings that God has had on Abraham, upon Isaac, upon their family, leading up to this time into the land, those testimonies are all over that land. So that when the children of Israel, coming from Egypt, these folks that did not know God, they were worshiping the idols of the Egyptians by the time that Moses leads them out of Egypt. They did not know God. And they are learning of him as they are marching along to come to the Promised Land. Moses is writing these things down that God has given him concerning their history. And he's telling them these things that God has done for their families in times past, for their ancestors. And all of these names of these places of God's testimony and how he's worked and how he's moved in the lives of their families. These places are all over the land that the children of Israel are about to come into. And they're going to recognize when they get to the land, oh, that's what happened there. That's where God blessed Abraham there. And that's where God worked this for Isaac here. Oh, yeah, you remember when God wrestled with Jacob down there. They know because of these things, there's this reality, there's this testimony of God all over the land. That testimony, by and large, is still all over that land even today. His testimony is still all over that land. And the promise has been fulfilled in many parts to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Their name was made great. He made them a nation, just as he said. He made them as their seed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore. He's done that, and he's still done that. He blessed all the families of the earth, as was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through their family line, because it is through this line that Christ Jesus would come. That he would come, live among us. He would come through that line of family tree. That would be the Mary side of the family, if you will, that he would be born in. And it is through that that our Lord would go to the cross and there bear for us our sins and our iniquities. There in our place be our substitute. And in him, through Abraham even, all the families of the earth have been blessed, the coming of our Lord Jesus and his death on the cross for his people. This was the promise that was given to Abraham. These things are fulfilled. There's some of them that are yet to be fulfilled. The major one that is yet to be fulfilled is Abraham's family having ownership of all the land that God gave them. They have not yet had all of that land in their possession. The most that they've had was during the reign of Solomon, and they had a big part of it then, but they've never had all the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord will fulfill that promise. They will own all of that property that God has promised to them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our Lord is ever faithful. He performs everything he says he will do. Everything. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.